2 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 1, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And even everything I kept myself from being a burdensome to you, so that I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows. God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Father, we pray your blessing upon this passage of Scripture, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would show us these wonderful things in your word tonight. Amen. I want to speak to you about the unity of compromise tonight. Because it's something that's very important that we need to know and to hear. In the news, I think it was either this week or last week, I can't remember now. There was a bit in the newspapers about it. Elton John is supposed to have said that if Jesus came back today, he would support gays and gay marriage, because Jesus is all love. Now, his Jesus might do that, but he is looking at a different Jesus to the Jesus of the Bible. And I want us to see that people create their own Jesus. And it's not a Jesus that lines up with Scripture. And Paul said this would happen. He said people would. They would accept someone that comes and preaches another Jesus. And they would also accept the preaching of another Jesus through a different spirit other than the Holy Spirit. And they would receive a different gospel other than the true gospel that saves. This was a prophecy given by Paul to the Corinthian church. He could see this coming. And it's here with us now, where people create their own Jesus. And they do this in a different spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, but an evil spirit, a demonic spirit. And they preach a different gospel. And this lays very heavy on me, as I've preached on this a number of times over the years, that people get taken in by a different gospel. Because people that get taken in by a false gospel actually believe they are saved. They are told that they're saved. Told that they're going to go to heaven. And all this, and yet they have not believed the true gospel. They have been fed a false gospel. A different gospel. And when the time comes, of course, they will stand before the Lord, as Jesus himself said in Matthew 7. And they'll say, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things in your name. And he'll say, I'm sorry, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you, because they're relying upon a false gospel, a different Jesus to the Jesus of the Scriptures. The Jesus of the Bible never changes. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. He doesn't say, oh well, you're in the 20th or 21st century now, so all these things are okay. He doesn't say that. He has the same standards that he had when he was on the earth. He's the same Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that came and shed his precious blood for us on the cross. I don't know about you, but it concerns me that there is a counterfeit Christianity out there today. And I saw that in this dear man this morning. It was all bunged up with all these different other issues and things, you know, the things that he was told were wrong and shouldn't do and shouldn't do this and didn't do that and all the rest of it. You know, a totally different set of rules, a totally different gospel to what the Bible shows us. And these people get trapped. There's a drive today to bring all the religions together, all the faiths together, all the denominations together. To say, oh, it doesn't matter, we've got differences. We believe differently. We practice our Christianity differently. But we'll come together and say, well, brother, you know, this is the drive today. Coming together. Compromise on the truth. I was reading a book before I came out tonight, and it was mentioning the martyrs of our faith that gave their lives, that were burnt at the stake. Why were they burnt at the stake? Because they would not recant the doctrine of the church. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be strapped to a stake and set fire to. But they would not go back on the word of God. They gave their lives for the truth of the gospel, for the doctrine of the Bible. Don't you run away with this idea that going around today, doctrine's not important, that we must love everybody and do all this, that and the other, and ignore the doctrine. Doctrine is very, very important. The doctrine is the foundation of our faith. And if we do away with doctrine, we'll be all over the place. Need to understand the doctrine, to learn the doctrine of the Christian church as laid out in the New Testament. To know what you believe, know it inside out, because you're going to need to in these days. Because people are laying all this aside. There's a big drive in Rome today as well. A big drive in Rome to... They no longer call us heretics, do you know that? Rome doesn't call us heretics anymore. We're separated brethren. That's our new name. Why? Because they're trying to entice the denominations back to Rome. It's all been in the news this week, hasn't it, about the women bishops things, and we had it all when it was the women vicars and all that, you know, women priests, we had it all then, when they okayed women priests. By the way, there's no such office as the priesthood now in the scriptures. We've got one high priest, Jesus Christ. So that's an obsolete office anyway. But anyway, they voted in to have women priests. And what happened? There are many clergy from the Church of England defected to the Roman Catholic Church over that one doctrine of women in the priesthood. That to me is, well, is unbelievable. Because rather than do anything about the women priests in an office that doesn't exist, they take on board transubstantiation. They take on board Mariology. They take on board purgatory. And all these false doctrines that are entrenched in Rome, that rather accept all them. Because they are doctrinally shaky. Yes, Rome is out to gather in the separated brethren. Do you know, when I was reading this about the martyrs earlier on, do you know one of the chief things that more people died over during the English Reformation than any other point of doctrine? It was transubstantiation. During those brief years of when Mary was queen and she took the country back to Catholicism, hundreds were burnt at the stake on that one point of doctrine, transubstantiation. You know what that means, don't you? It means that during the Mass, when they take the bread and they bless it, it becomes the actual body of Christ. And when they take the wine and bless it, it becomes the actual blood of Christ. It changes according to them. And when they place it on the altar and they worship the wafer in the nostrum box, they are falling down before Jesus, God, because it's become him. And they offer him afresh on the altar as another sacrifice. That's transubstantiation. Terrible, terrible doctrine. Because it means that the cross was insufficient. It means that the cross was not enough to pay our sins. We've got to carry on re-sacrificing Jesus over and over again at every Mass that they do. The body and the blood of Jesus on the altar. And that was the sticking point in most of the martyrs, because they would not agree to transubstantiation. They would rather die than take that doctrine on board. Counterfeit Christianity. Dare we forget those that have gone on before and fought for the doctrine of the church on which we now stand. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I was reading this earlier as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine. Teaching in the newer translation, but it's doctrine in the AV. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, they will heap together, having itching ears, heap together unto themselves teachers, and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's what we're seeing today. That prophecy is absolutely right. It's happening. And we are told we must preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That means ready when you're prepared and ready when you're not prepared. Be ready at all times. Ready at all times. To convince, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But today we hear no doctrine. We don't need doctrine. We just love one another. Doesn't matter what you believe. We just love one another. We take on board a different Jesus, a different gospel, by a different spirit. And that's the trouble. That's what's happening all around us today. Whenever we people talk about unity today, that is what they're talking about. They're talking about church unity, denominational unity, bringing together the people of different beliefs. And whenever that happens, there is compromise. It's got to be. If we're believing different things and we're coming together, there's got to be compromise. Compromise on the truth. And that's something I won't do. I don't know about you, but I'm not prepared to compromise the truth. Just to be getting along with people. To put on board a false unity for the world to see. But I tell you, there is a true unity. There is a true unity. It doesn't need to be worked at. But I tell you now that all true, born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are already in unity. I believe that with all my heart. We might have been at various stages of our growth, but we're already in unity. Because Jesus said he would build his church. He prayed to his heavenly Father. He said, Lord, that they may be one as we are one. Do you think our Lord's prayer wasn't answered? Of course it was answered. And the true church, the hidden church, the real believers, the real bride of Christ, not the counterfeit, the real bride of Christ, is in unity. I found this out quite strikingly on the internet when I've spoken to people from all round the world. You know, and I can talk to someone who I don't know from Adam, and yet you straight away have a bond, a unity in Christ, because we're brothers. I found that over and over again, you know, because there is a real unity. God has brought us together. God has unified his body and his church. We're all part of that one body with him as the head. We're already in unity. Hallelujah. And yet they keep saying, come together. Unity. But you know why, don't you? It's the devil's work. I'll tell you why it's the devil's work. Because one day the words that I was singing in that song are going to happen. And as far as I'm concerned, it can't happen soon enough. I hope it happens tonight. There's going to be that call. There's going to be that trumpet sound. The dead are going to rise. And those that are alive and remain will be changed and caught up. But there will still be a church left on the earth. Do you know that? There'll still be a church. The counterfeit Christian church will still be here. And all the churches will come together. All the religions will come together. Yes, even Islam. They're all going to come together. The Bible tells us that. Into one big world church, one big world religion. And it will be headed up by the false prophet. And I've said for many years, and I believe I'm still right, that the false prophet will be whatever pope is in office at the time. Because Rome is opening her doors. All you heretics that they brushed away in years gone by, they're saying, come back, separated brethren. Come back to the mother church. Come back to the great whore of Revelation 17 and 18. The mystery harlot. You read about it. The one that sits on seven hills, drunk with the blood of the martyrs. It's all there in the scripture. Oh yes. And I believe that that church will eventually embrace all religions, and it will be the world church that's left behind. And God will finally deal with it in those last days before his glorious second coming. So I give this as a warning to you and an encouragement tonight. Don't get caught up with another Jesus, another gospel by a different spirit. Plenty of it around today. And you can see where it's leading. Don't forsake the doctrine. Know what you believe. Stand upon it. Never compromise it. Even if that means sometimes you have to separate from people. Never compromise the gospel. Dare we ever forget those that laid down their life for the doctrine of the church, who would not deny the Lord and what the Bible teaches. Dare we ever forget them? Would we be willing to go that route? Because the Bible tells us that all who suffer all who are believers will suffer persecution, who live godly in Christ Jesus. It tells us that. So will it get that bad? I don't know. Will we be called upon in that position? I don't know. But are we ready if it happened? Are we ready to pay the ultimate price for what we believe and stand upon? We were singing Jesus. Jesus, there's something about that name. There's nothing about the name of a different Jesus. But the real Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. That wonderful Jesus that paid the price of my sin. That one who said, nevertheless, not my will but yours, Father. And drank from that cup. Poured out his blood for me. Oh, how I praise him. There's something about that name. I just pray that we will realize the truth of these things and that we will stick firmly upon the word, stand upon the word in these days, because we're going to need to. We're going to need to stand firm on this precious word. It tells us here, even Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He's very, very convincing. And it's no great thing, it says, if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Happens. It's happening all the time. And I'll tell you, if you know the Lord truly as your Saviour, and you have a love for the truth and a love for the Word, and stay in that Word, stand upon it, you won't be led astray. Hallelujah. I pray that God will bless you as you think on these things. Amen.